All right, so this is Part-Time Fanboy, and I am Christian Horn with my friend Paul Edwards. Say hi to the people, Paul.
Hi to the people, Paul.
Yeah, and we are here to talk about the Walking Dead finale. Ian and Mark could not be here this evening, but I was so excited about the Walking Dead finale that I wanted to get a podcast up ASAP. So they'll probably be sharing their thoughts on the next episode, but since the finale just aired, I wanted to go over some thoughts right away, and Paul was willing to step in when I needed him. Thank you, Paul.
No problem.
So you just watched this thing, right?
I just watched it. I literally, like maybe half an hour ago, so I'm really fresh to the podcast from the episode.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it as we're talking. I saw it about 24 hours ago, and I actually wanted to do one right after I saw it, but I was too wiped out from WonderCon. So,
that was talking about The Walking Dead there. Well, you know, I watched the first season, but I didn't watch any of the second season except for this episode.
And really?
It's kind of funny because I really don't feel like I missed a lot.
Really?
I mean, obviously, I missed the...
You missed a lot? Scene.
I'm sorry?
You missed a lot.
Oh, did I? It didn't feel like it.
Oh my gosh, I thought you had seen the second season, but... Either way, I mean,
no.
So what? Okay, so you didn't see any of the second season, but you saw the first season. What did you think of the finale?
Well, I really liked it. As I said, I didn't really see much of the second season. I didn't see the second season at all, but I thought that this episode did a really good job of tying up a lot of the stuff that they've. You know, that they've got going on so far, and certainly moving it forward into a new direction.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're very lucky because, I mean, a lot of the second season and a lot of the first, I mean, I had problems with much of the show. Mostly it's pacing, and you came in at basically what was a balls-to-the-wall zombie episode. Which I think has a lot of fans super excited, but much of the lead up to it was kind of very hit and miss.
Well, from what I gather from the bit that I know, it seems that this was the season that they were sort of stuck on the farm. Is that correct?
Yeah, this is. I mean, do you read the comics at all?
Yeah, I've read some of them. I haven't read, I think I'm into the second collected edition.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so, I mean...
Which is funny, I think it's probably about where the show was. I mean, I think, you know, Shane just got killed in the comic, and now he just got killed on the show.
Yeah, yeah, which is interesting. I mean, this is the biggest point of contention with me, because you missed the episode before this, but they did a whole thing where... the whole buildup of the season was sort of a power play between Shane and Rick. And, you know, Shane taking much more of a militant stance against basically generally everything, where Rick kind of wanted to take a bit more of a moderate, like, let's see how things play out. Let's not, you know, go guns blazing into everything. And there was a lot of jealousy, as in the comic, between... Shane and Rick, because obviously when Rick was in a coma, Shane was shacking up with his wife and kid.
Right.
So there was a lot of that drama played out pretty powerfully throughout the season, and it kind of came to a head in the episode before this.
Right.
Where you had Shane actually sort of formulate a plan of getting Rick out into the woods to basically murder him.
You know, my wife is a bigger watcher of this season than I was. She says that she actually only missed one episode this season, and she said that I guess Lori, is it
the yeah.
Rick's wife, a little bit of a plot against Shane, or had planted ideas in Rick's head against Shane throughout the season. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, there's also that where it's very much Lori obviously trying to fit into the mold of Rick's wife, but as you saw in the first season, they were obviously having a bit of marital problems before all the zombie stuff happened and Rick was hospitalized, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she's kind of trying to deal with her feelings of gratitude towards Shane for getting them out of Atlanta or getting them out of, you know, their home neighborhood and saving them. But now her husband's back and mm-hmm. she's trying to be loyal to him. And so there was a little bit of that soap opera nonsense tacked on there, and they laid it on a bit thick. But, you know, the characterization that played out between Rick and Shane was pretty well done, to the point of where, you know, you knew that Shane was kind of going nuts, mm-hmm. but you couldn't help but sympathize with him, because a lot of the time I felt that he was right about things. So, you know, and Rick was being kind of a bit of a wuss, you know, and not stepping up to the plate.
Rick's behavior at the end of this episode sort of proved Shane.
Sort of proved what? You kind of dropped out there.
Embracing fascist by the end of the episode.
Yeah, I mean, I really, which is what I liked, because if you've read the comics, the whole comic of The Walking Dead is sort of like the descent of Rick, or Rick trying to hang on to his humanity. So I did like that aspect, that end of the show where he was just like, screw it. You know, I didn't ask for this. I didn't mm-hmm. want this, you know, and you people keep asking me for answers and they're not always going to be perfect. And, you know, it was just, it was a very powerful moment for his character, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's something that finally, I remember sitting there at the end of last night's episode. I was like, finally, this guy's grown a set of balls, you know, he's ready to take the lead.
I think one of the things that was interesting too about seeing the episode tonight is that they sort of brought a little resolution to that whole CDC thing that was the end of last season.
Yeah.
Where I guess what had been whispered to him was that everyone was infected with whatever is causing this plague.
Yeah. Yeah, and well, that's interesting because Mark mentioned that in our first podcast that the CDC guy had whispered something in Rick's ear, which I had completely forgotten about. I mean, completely mm-hmm. forgotten about. And Mark reminded me of it. And at first, it didn't seem like that was going to play out, but he had said he had heard about that. And it looks like it did, which, you know, leaves some interesting questions about these zombies to me because, you know, in the Romero movies, the zombies always, you know, get up and move after they die. And mm-hmm. it's kind of a given. But it seems that for some reason in Walking Dead, everyone just assumed that the zombies came from being just bitten and not being reanimated after death, which kind of seems strange to me because I'd have to go back and look at the first episode. But mm-hmm. I sort of seem to remember people saying, you know, that the dead are getting up and walking.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it was some sort of plague that was being transmitted from a bite, you know?
Right. And again, it's possible that there's more than one way to become a zombie at this point.
Well, it raises an interesting thing for me because I'd never really thought about it. But, you know, okay, so you die as – when you die, you come back as one of these zombies. But when you get bit, you get infected with something. But you're already infected. So are the zombies carrying some sort of venom in their saliva? Is it some kind of extra virulent source of the virus that kind of kills people quickly and then the virus that's already in them is what reanimates them, and not the bite, not the infection from the zombie. I mean, it just raises all these interesting questions about the mechanics of how the zombification process works, right?
Right, right. And it's kind of funny that there hasn't been there haven't been very many zombie movies, with the exception of maybe 28 Days Later, that really deal with the whole zombification process. And, you know, then there's some argument as to whether 28 Days Later is a real zombie movie or
not.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
But, you know, for our purposes, we can say that they're zombies.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm sort of interested in the process, too. And I think it's interesting, too, that this tonight the season or the series took sort of a very comic booky leap with the introduction of this new character, who I understand is from the comics, but I haven't gotten that far.
Yeah. Yeah, her name is Michonne, and people have been clamoring for her to show up on the TV show. And she is basically one of the central characters of the comic books, and she's basically a badass. And you're right. Mm-hmm. It kind of takes it out of the realistic realm and brings it into sort of more of a fantastic sort of action movie realm to have somebody with a samurai sword, you know, roaming the countryside.
Right. But what I think is interesting is that it sort of brings a new perspective to the series, because so far it's all been about people who are trying to hold on to a past that doesn't exist anymore. I mean, they're trying to rebuild a society that's pretty much gone. And this is someone who obviously sort of embraces the new paradigm and, you know, this new crazy world, and, you know, she's running with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it'll be an interesting turn for the series. Now, was I correct also in at the end, the final shot, was that a prison?
Yeah, and that's the arc that lasts the longest in the beginning of the series, and you'll probably get to that maybe in the third collection.
Okay.
I mean, I was reading them as singular issues, and I have the first two hardcovers. But the prison arc, I remember, and I said this in the podcast before, that I very much, when I reviewed it on Ain't It Cool News, I reviewed an issue from the prison arc, and I called it The Talking Dead. It really sort of devolves into a bit of, you know, character study, people talking a lot, not a lot of zombie action, because they become isolated in the prison. And so There is a bit of zombie stuff in the beginning when they're trying to sort of reclaim the prison from the zombies so that they have a place to live. But the prison arc goes on for way too long, and that makes me a bit afraid for season two, because I hope that it just doesn't become...
Well, that was sort of the problem with the farm.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's what I had said in a previous podcast, that you have the danger of it devolving into Little House on the Prairie, where it's like, how are we going to get our vegetables? How are we going to get our fuel? How are we going to... And I'm not interested in that. I mean, I want character development and I want good story, but I'm really, really not interested in getting down to the nitty-gritty of everything that they need to do to survive, you know?
Yeah, so, and I don't think that that'll necessarily translate towards good television either.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I hope they realize that. And but, you know, they've apparently already cast one of the main villains of the series. And, you know, so that means that something big is coming, and I don't want to ruin it for you because you haven't read the books, but there's some really bad shit about to go down if that character shows up in the series. Like, really bad.
So it's not the happy feel-good season of the Walking Dead coming up, then?
No. I mean, if it goes the way, if they get past the prison arc rather quickly, which I hope that they do, I mean, we're in for a world of pain. But I mean, I do want to talk a little bit more about this episode, sort of. Well, I mean, more the episode before this, because we were talking about Shane, and something happens at the very end with the confrontation with Rick and Shane in the woods that really almost took me right out of the series, where it was almost a jump the shark moment, to overuse a phrase.
Okay.
And basically, I mean, I don't want to I guess I'm going to have to ruin it for you, because
ruin away.
You haven't seen
ruined
it yet.
Everything else, man.
But Shane's plan, they had caught somebody. They hadn't caught somebody, but Rick had tried to help somebody that they had captured, and they were trying to decide what they were going to do with him. And Shane just wanted to off him. And Rick kind of wants to keep him alive. And so what ends up happening is that's part of the power play between them. Do we kill this guy, or do we drive him out into the middle of nowhere and just like let him go and hope that he doesn't bring his group of survivors down onto the farm, you know, because it's known that this group of survivors, that this guy that they captured is from, this kid, is pretty, pretty loathsome, you know. Mm-hmm. So what ends up occurring is that the episode before this last one, Shane concocts a plot to let the guy go, and, you know, he kills him in the woods, but he comes back and he says, this guy, you know, clocked me on the nose, and he escaped. So he gets everyone out in the woods searching for him, and obviously him and Rick go their own separate ways. So when they leave for the hike to find this guy that he's already killed, the sun is about beginning to set. Okay, and they are marching through the woods, and as you saw from the beginning of the season finale, it's pitch black night by the time the confrontation occurs, okay? And so it's pitch black night, they've been marching through the woods, and then all of a sudden, Carl shows up in the middle of nowhere, and it's like, how did this kid get here? He just appeared out of the woods. He snuck out of the house. What is going on? Because who's keeping an eye on this kid? Because he would have had to have been missing for at least an hour and a half. You know, they were marching through the woods for a long time for the sun to be setting and for the moon to come out and the mists to settle down. So
it's very episode when she finds out that he's missing.
What was that? She's very what?
Lori was very upset at the beginning of this episode when she finds out that he's missing. I guess she doesn't really notice that he's gone until this episode here.
Yeah, but it's already the time where they've killed Shane. I mean, chronologically, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, the kid pops out of nowhere, and he shoots Shane in the head from 20 paces for a kid that doesn't like guns. Okay, whatever. Well, I'll take that. Gets a clean point shot right between the eyes.
Right.
And then Rick and the kid turn around at the end of the episode before the finale, and you can see the farm, like right there. But they've been marching through the woods for, at least to me, it would be a very long time, because the sun has set, the moon has come out, the mists have descended upon the woods. It's all very dramatic. But apparently they only walked like maybe a mile, mile and a half. That's ridiculous. And then you can't see the woods, because they went into actual woods. They went into woods and came out of woods into another field. And they were marching in the woods for a long time. And after the confrontation with Shane and they kill zombie Shane, they turn around and it's like they never went anywhere. So I just about fell out of my chair. I mean, Amy and I thought something happened to the DVR.
Now, here's my question. Was that a math shot there?
I mean, it was definitely – it had to be some sort of composed shot, you know, because it didn't look natural to me. It looked sort of faked in some sort of digital way. But I literally was sitting there, because they had a great scene with Rick and Shane that actually kind of choked me up a little bit, because it's like, this guy's got to kill his best friend. And then all of a sudden, the kid pops out of nowhere. And it's like, what? What's going on? I literally thought that the program had skipped a couple of minutes.
Hmm.
And then when I realized that it hadn't, I was furious. I was furious. And the only reason that I'm a fan of the comic, but the reason that I watched this episode was because it looked like there was going to be a lot of zombie action, and you know I'm a zombie fanatic, so.
And it delivered.
It did deliver, and quite honestly, I will say that this episode very much recouped my hatred of the end of the last episode, because it kind of went in a direction that I was very happy with.
Well, then, that's good, but yeah. It sounds to me like they it sounds to me like they sort of sacrificed a little bit of the plot believability for the sake of a cool looking shot.
Yeah, yeah, and setting up a climax that they needed to get to, that they mm-hmm. very much, and it seemed very rushed. I mean, I think the writing in season two has been very awkward. I thought the writing in season one was very awkward, but there was enough good stuff in there that kept me watching. I mean, it's better than most shows on TV. It reminds me a little bit of Lost in a way, although I thought Lost was far more compelling.
I think Lost did a much better job of developing those sort of ancillary characters, those little, you know, the ones who they're not your primary focus, but, you know, they're there to either to provide some sort of comic relief or to, you know, keep the plot moving along in some other kind of way, because that was the thing I was starting to notice about this, is people were dropping off, and I was never quite sure who they were.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe some of them had come along in the second season, but I remembered a few of them from the first season, and I wasn't quite sure. That's the sort of the only problem for me, is that they seem to introduce characters really for no other reason than to just sort of, you know, chop them down.
Well, yeah, I think they introduced a lot of characters in order to sort of keep the cast going or keep people being able to relate to one another, but they never fully really explore anyone. And I mean, in the way that it's very close to Lost, it's not like Lost in that it doesn't keep you on your toes as much as Lost did. Mm-hmm. And I mean, obviously they're two completely different shows. There's no real core mystery to The Walking Dead, whereas Lost, it was like, what is going on? But with this show, I mean, I just think they would lose focus a lot because they had too many characters,
mm-hmm.
which happened sort of with the comic, but Kirkman was smart enough to really keep the focus on Rick a lot of the time. I really think that the comic book is very much Rick's story, and that's what keeps it very focused. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. I do. I think it was one of the things that was interesting too is Laurie's reaction to Rick when she finds out that he's killed.
Oh, jeez! Well, that was ridiculous.
It was a little over the top from someone who, I mean, I don't know. Did she expect any different?
I don't understand like what planet she's from, because I know that a lot of female friends that I have on Facebook, they love to trash Lori. And quite honestly, I know that Ian, in one of the podcasts earlier, and I agree with him, I believe that the female characters are very badly underwritten. And Lori is the worst. And to have her react to Rick like that after he admits to killing his best friend, because he had to, you know, it's not like, hey, I wanted to kill this guy. No, he dragged me out into the woods and he was going to kill me. And you're upset? Like, I what the hell is that all about? I mean, she's an idiot.
Well, I found it a little odd.
It
seemed like she should have sort of seen that coming.
Yeah, and she's an ungrateful bitch because, you know, first, you know, like let's get down to it. She really treated Shane like shit after Rick came back. You know, she just tried to cut him off and be like, "Sorry, we're done." And it's like, "No, let's talk through this a little bit. I mean, I have feelings. I'm a human being, you know, even though I'm a hard-ass cop. It's like, put me down gently." And now Rick says, "So what are we saying here? That Lori really loved Shane the whole time?" And was just being a bitch to him, or was conflicted, or now she realized that she loved Shane because he's dead? I mean, get your shit together. I really.
Well, it'll be really interesting to see sort of what happens now that it's, you know, Rick's show now.
Yeah.
I read after the episode was over, I went online and took a look and saw that people are already referring to it as the Ricktatorship.
The Ricktatorship, that's awesome. I know that Chud broke some news. Chud.com broke some news as far as casting goes and returning character from season one. I guess Merle is going to be coming back.
Oh, good.
Yeah, which I can't wait because honestly, you know, the guy with the crossbow, I mean, in the beginning of the season, they were making it really seem like he was going to turn on Rick. And then out of nowhere, they're best friends. Like some sort of transition happened that it seemed like they didn't film or get to film, or maybe they cut it out. But all of a sudden, he has this massive amount of respect for Rick. But there was a sequence in the beginning of the season where he gets lost in the woods and is injured and he's hallucinating. And his brother comes to him in a dream, like a fever dream. And it's like, how could you abandon me? And why are you teaming up with Rick? And so he's kind of sets up camp off to the side of the farm to be isolated from everyone. And it seems like he may turn on everyone. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, they're best friends. So I'll be very happy to see if his brother shows up again.
So, what we're looking at then is the beginning of a prison. Prison as the new refuge arc. We're going to have a more comic booky super heroine coming into things, and we're getting a racist hillbilly with one hand.
Well, see, not to ruin anything from you, but I believe that he's going to be part of the evil bad shit that goes down next season, like the horrible, yeah, badness that happens. So, but you got to read the books, man. You got to start picking those things up.
I know, but reading's so hard.
Reading comics, keeping up with things is so hard. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Walking Dead is just one of those series. I mean, I've been collecting from the beginning, and I've like it is Walking Dead is the singular reason that I'm still reading pamphlets today, because comic shops will not pull just one book for me. So I have to buy other books so I could get my fix of Walking Dead. I know it's ridiculous, but Walking Dead, not the new DC 52, not Marvel and Fear itself. Walking Dead, Robert Kirkman, is the singular reason that I am reading pamphlet comic books still to this day.
One day they'll have an article or a book or a blog or whatever, some sort of digital thing that exists about how Robert Kirkman saved the comics industry.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I don't know, the way it's going, I just picked up a bunch of books today and it was a little bit of a dent in my wallet, but yeah, in any case, I mean, The Walking Dead keeps me coming. Kirkman is a really great writer. The show is shaky at times. I think my wife, I think Amy is kind of, she's kind of done with it. I think she tolerates it now. And I think it's because the female characters are so badly written. I mean, you've got Andrea, and she's one-dimensional as all hell. I was actually really upset that she didn't get killed, that Michonne saved her at the last minute. I was hoping that she would bite it, but I knew that she wouldn't because I think a lot of women like her because they think that she's strong and kicks ass. But now you're going to have two females that are strong and kick ass, and we'll see how that plays out next season. But I was hoping that she would go. But I think Lori is kind of very unlikable. And, the farmer girl, I can't remember the sister that kind of hooked up with
With Glenn.
got with gosh, what's his name? The Asian gentleman.
Glenn.
Glenn. Yeah, you got it, Glenn. Sorry. With Glenn, I mean, she's kind of one-dimensional too. I just, I don't know. I don't know. But, they, sorry,
One
go
of the
ahead.
things, no, I was just thinking about, I mean, it sort of does tie in with the characters and everything. I think one of the things I'd love to see coming out of Walking Dead is, and I haven't seen this on TV for a really long time, not really since I think a couple of seasons of Angel, is the way that they would just sort of build every episode right to the commercial break and just give you a great cliffhanger right at the commercial break. And
Yeah.
then, when you'd come back from the commercial break, they'd resolve that, but then they would take it up into a new level, and they would just sort of keep ratcheting that tension up until it got to the end of the episode, and then they hit you with the big cliffhanger.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
you just, you just sort of couldn't wait to come back. You couldn't, well, now you wouldn't be able to, couldn't wait to just fast forward through the commercials
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
to the
yeah.
next break. But I do feel that that's sort of a character and structural thing that I'd love to see develop in the next season.
Yeah. I mean, that's interesting because I don't think a lot of the cliffhangers during this season, being that you haven't seen it, are have been as dramatic as this past episode. I mean, obviously this was the finale and it was like a zombie invasion. I mean, I guess by the way, don't fly helicopters during a zombie apocalypse.
No.
I didn't get that. I mean, were they insinuating that the zombies saw or heard the helicopter and just kind of went in that direction, and it happened to be in the direction of the farm?
Or that someone's guiding the zombies by radio-controlled helicopters.
Oh God, I hope not. That would be awful. But it's interesting because, I mean, in the TV show, they are sort of slightly exploring the origins of the plague. And in the comic book, they don't do that at all. There was never a CDC, thing. There was, which I actually thought that CDC episode was the worst one of the show of season one. That finale I thought was terrible. But obviously it recouped itself because I thought the season premiere this season was very well done. But I think I just wish we could have seen it play out with Frank Darabont in the guiding, director chair,
I understand. It's sort of it is a series that sort of does cry out for a really strong creative mind guiding it.
Yeah.
And I think this has probably been a season from everything that you're telling me. It's been a season of a show that's been trying to find itself.
Yeah.
And it seems with this episode, at least, that they certainly did, that they have a clear direction that they're headed in now. Everyone in the cast seems pretty settled into where they're going to go, with the, with a few of the smaller exceptions. And it seems like they're going to try to ratchet everything up next season.
Yeah. I
So
hope
fingers
so.
crossed that they do.
I hope so. I hope so. I mean, there's always rumors about that was one of the things I think Darabont was having problems with is that AMC wanted to cut his budget. And he was kind of upset because Walking Dead is quite literally their biggest hit. I think even bigger than Mad Men as far as ratings are concerned. So, not critically, obviously, because you're not going to get people. In the Academy of whatever, motion picture arts and whatever, to line up behind a zombie show, right? But I think that this is their biggest ratings grabber. So to Darabont, I know that he was thinking in interviews, he was saying, like, are you crazy? Why would you pull my budget down if I'm bringing in tons of viewers? So I don't know.
And And you know, they certainly spent a pretty penny on this one, on this episode. So, you know, maybe they should reevaluate things and sort of treat each episode as if it's the season finale.
I mean, I really hope that they do that because there were a lot of times where I was starting to lose patience with this show during this season. And I just kept wanting to give it a chance because I love the comic book. Although obviously the comic book has tested my patience as well at times, but
Christian, the list of things that don't test our patience is getting very, very small.
Yes. I'm a grumpy old man. What do you want? I'm a grumpy old man. I was a grumpy young man. I'm a grumpy old man. I'll be a grumpy corpse. So, you know. But in any case, I really do think that this episode kind of pulled it out. Are you going to go back and watch this the whole second season now?
Yeah, when it's on Netflix or on a DVD collection, yeah.
Yeah, it'll probably be on Netflix soon because the first season is on Netflix, I think. I think AMC struck some sort of deal with Netflix because Mad Men is on there, and obviously my favorite show of all time, Breaking Bad, is on there. So great, you know. Well, I mean, that's sort of my basic opinions about The Walking Dead. I guess we'll try and get Ian and Mark's opinion on the next show. So maybe it'll be a lot of reiteration going on for a little bit. But I'm glad that you were able to join me, Paul. Thank you for
Well, thanks a
joining me.
lot. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, and hopefully you can join us for more podcasts because,
Absolutely.
you know, this was a lot of fun talking to you. And, you know, long live The Walking Dead, I guess.
Sure. Arg.
Ah, wrong producer, wrong company. Oh, Joss Whedon. Joss Whedon needs a new TV show.
What
Anyway,
about zombies?
oh my God, that would be awesome.
I can
Anyway.
imagine all the quirky, quippy zombie action that would be
It would
going
be
on.
awesome. They should get Whedon to direct an episode of Walking Dead. That would be fantastic.
I don't know if they'll be able to afford him now that he's got the Avengers deal in place.
Oh, the Avengers. Stop talking about the Avengers. Oh, hey, wait, before we go, have you seen the new Prometheus trailer?
Oh, yes.
Man, we should have tried to get into that Ridley Scott thing at WonderCon.
I understand that he didn't really give a lot.
Oh,
So,
really?
I think we did just fine with watching it online.
Okay. I mean, that trailer looks amazing. Apparently, the UK version is a bit different in tone.
Yeah, I think it's that I'd read that it's geared more toward like sort of the puzzle of you know figuring out what the symbols all mean and everything like that, where the US version sort of cuts straight to the chase of you know, it's a trap.
Yeah. All right. Cool, man. Well, thanks for joining Part-Time Fanboy, and this has been another Part-Time Fanboy Part-Time Fanboy podcast. I refuse to edit that out.
Mark. Part-time. Part-time fanboy.